Hello, humans, and welcome back to another episode of Sparks Conversation. Are you having a good day, good life, wherever you are in this world, and you are looking forward to the week that is ahead of you, okay? So today's podcast is all about the psychology of fat loss, okay? So it's February, we've had some nicer weather, but everything is starting to indicate that people are dieting for right or wrong reasons, but lots of my clients and potential clients are thinking about dieting over the next few months or weeks, okay? So we're going to talk about the psychology of this, and subsequently how you can actually kind of optimize your mindset, your approach, that you can get the best outcomes from your fat loss kind of phase. Because again, the main thing that I see kind of people being put off fat loss for life is that they fail, okay? And of course, failure is completely subjective, and you only really fail if you quit. But if you have the right structures in place, and one of those structures being how you approach your psychology of the diet, you'll really be tackling one of the biggest hurdles that you will face, okay? Because I'm not going to lie. For example, I've had clients of different degrees of dieting. I've had people get on stage where they're inside out. I've personally got kind of probably pretty low body fat for my bodybuilding show. And I've had clients do that for the shoot as well. And these are some of the things that I've noticed from them, anecdotally, and from kind of my understanding of the literature around these things, okay? So obviously, like, your psychology within the fat loss phase is massive, okay? It impacts your day-to-day. It will impact those around you. It will impact your work. So we really need to get a grasp of it, and how we can kind of understand it in relation to kind of a fat loss phase. The reason that I think mindset comes under, or psychology comes under such scrutiny when we're dieting, is because I think when you lower calories, you just lower your individual bandwidth. And that basically means that your threshold or your tolerance for kind of things, whether that's like bad news, whether that's someone annoying you, whether that's someone insulting you, just goes down. Whereas when you've got loads of food, you'd probably just brush it off. You'd probably just kind of breathe, accept that you're in an argument and move on. Whereas when you're dieting and that kind of calorie availability is just lower, I find that most people's kind of thresholds for tolerance goes down. And I don't want that to kind of impact their day-to-day, their lives, their mindset, and everything about that, okay? So the things that we need to think about is when you go into dieting phase, you need to shift your mindset, okay? And this is based around adopting more often than not kind of healthy habits, okay? And I say healthy very kind of tentatively, in a sense that, like, obviously not all dieting tendencies are healthy, and that is before all of the fucking eating kind of habit, the eating disorder people come for me. It's a case that you need to be thinking about, right, now I need to set myself up with my habits and my habitual behavior that's going to lead me to stay within my calorie deficit. And that's a mindset shift in itself. So the easiest ones that people follow are kind of literally just picking lower calorie options instead of their normal kind of full calorie options that they would normally drink or eat when they were potentially in a period of higher calories. And that's the easiest one that you can do, okay? The next one would be like, right, I'm going to focus on kind of not buying junk food or food that's higher in calorie, because again, that leads me to temptation, which then psychologically creates some kind of decision fatigue when I have to consistently resist the urge to eat those crisps that are in the cupboard. The next thing you need to think about is like, what are your limiting beliefs around your fat loss? A lot of the time, like, people don't actually believe in themselves. They kind of do set tentative goals for themselves instead of something that's actually quite far-fetched and something that's actually going to push them beyond where they've been before. And I think the best thing you can do to combat these limiting beliefs is like set a standard for yourself or a goal that is way further each time than what you've done. Of course, competing is not the thing for everyone, but you want to make sure that you are pushing those limiting beliefs out of your life and you're just focusing on kind of getting better each time. You also need to focus on like the fear of failure. So most people are scared of failure for right and wrong reasons. And how we're going to overcome that is just, I think it's very easy to overcome the fear of failure when you align yourself with the identity that you want to become. And then subsequently, you change your habitual behaviors to meet that goal identity. And that's from James Clear's Atomic Habits. Because if daily and acutely you're doing the things that you need to do, there's a very small chance that you will fail. Most of the time, failure comes from poor planning and poor execution. It's not actually a personal thing, unless the all of that is down to you. The next one is that, like, you need to kind of move away from a common barrier that it needs to be all or nothing, okay? Like, tons of my guys and girls, like, will have days where their calories are higher, and that's absolutely fine. Of course, I'll call them out on it, and of course, there will be some accountability to that. I'm not going to say, like, you're a shit person for eating higher calories. It would just be like, why has this day been slightly higher calories? Oh, okay, I had to go to a funeral and a wake. That's okay. That's absolutely fine. Do you know what I mean? But then what that does is it pulls you back. And what it focuses on, it doesn't need to be 100% every day. It just needs to be 80%. Do you know what I mean? Even 60% is better than 0%. Because if people try and be 100% all the time, they just end up burning themselves out. Especially if you're not a robot. Especially if you're not someone who's done this before, lives, breathes, eats it. If you don't live, breathe, or eat it, you will struggle to keep 100% all the time. Even myself, like when I was bodybuilding, I got to a point, and it took me like 28 years to get there, where I was just like, do you know what? I just don't want to track every day. And that was me coming to the realization that all or nothing was just not serving me anymore. The next one to kind of shift your mindset is really focusing on like cultivating your growth mindset. And growth mindset is like so boring. It's often very much overspoken about. That's not a good phrase. Spoken about too much. And the best way to kind of embrace a growth mindset or just challenge yourself on an individual level is just embracing the challenges that you face. And the easiest way you can do that, again, is set challenges that are outside of your comfort zone. That's why I think the photo shoots do so well for people. They realize what they can do as an individual. And I try and kind of cultivate that in everyone. Do you know what I mean? Every client I come with, I guarantee that they will be underestimating themselves. They'll think that their challenges are too big for them and that they can't overcome them. And you need to embrace these challenges. Every one of us has been given a unique set of cards, whether that's children, whether that's family, whether that's an illness that inhibits us, like a low thyroid or hyperactive thyroid, like some of my clients. Like, we're embracing those challenges. They're not going to define us. They're just going to be there. They will definitely slow us down, but again, they're not going to knock us off course. Of course, one thing that everyone needs to work on is like embracing setbacks. And the key with setbacks is seeing them as an opportunity to understand yourself better. So for example, you don't go to the gym for a week. Like, why is that the case? Like, what was that about that week? Was it time management? Was it mood? Was it mental health? Like, if it was, you have the solution in front of you, in a sense that, not the solution, but you know why you're feeling like that, or you know why you've slipped off. And then you can put things in place to kind of project forward. And that's the key. Setbacks don't set you back. They just analyze what's caused the issue. And then you can project forward and develop forward. Next one. And this is something that I see a lot. Do you know what I mean? I've been guilty of it in the past. Is that, like, when people diet, negative self-talk comes in. Whether it's body positivity or lack of, or just like general negative thoughts about themselves as an individual, their training. And I think, again, this ties into lower calorie environments. It turns into kind of self-efficacy and how you view yourself within the environment. But we need to be thinking about how, like, a positive self-talk can impact in motivation, confidence, and behavior. And this isn't this wishy-washy walking around shouting affirmations from the rooftop when you're having your morning coffee and you're going barefoot in the sand. It can be if you do that, but it's very much more the case that I want you to be thinking like, positive about yourself, okay? Like, negative self-talk never really gets you anywhere. Do you know what I mean? All it does is creates this echo chamber where you're hating what you're doing. And I never really want people, unless they've said to me that they want to be like the best they can ever be on stage, this would be the only time where I'd let kind of negative self-talk get away with it. Because again, there's going to be like things in a day that they hate, and I'm not too worried if they're going to say like, I hate this. Do you know what I mean? But if you have negative self-talk all of the time, it's just not a good place to be. And you're just creating an environment around yourself that isn't conducive to you becoming your best self. And some techniques to kind of recognize and challenge negative self-talk patterns are just noticing when you're doing it. Do you know what I mean? And you need to kind of rewire that before it comes a negative habit in itself. And you need to be thinking about how you can foster positive self-talk. And like, you could look at like journaling. Journaling's a good one. You could look at periods of your day where you are practicing gratitude. And this, again, this doesn't have to kind of be like you writing this down. It could just be like when you're out on your walk, you're having a coffee, like, what are you grateful for? And just appreciating times where you genuinely feel something. My therapist told me about like, how like you don't always have to feel something, but you can just kind of recognize that in the moment there is something going on, and it might just be a bodily feeling for a lot of this guys and girls where we might not be the most in tune with our emotions. It might be the case that we get a feeling in our stomach, or we might get that fleeting feeling when we kind of speak to someone, and that in itself is your body kind of processing gratitude and happiness, and you just need to be aware of that, okay? Because again, if negative self-talk comes in, you really will struggle in a dieting phase, because again, the only person holding you accountable realistically to what you're trying to do is yourself. And you really start, if you really start to dig yourself into the ground, personally, from experience, you're going to find it even harder to kind of get to the position that you want to be. Next one is that we need to be motivated, and how are you approaching your goal setting, okay? Because again, there's different types of motivation. There's intrinsic, there's extrinsic. Of course, like these both, and I covered these in detail in the last podcast, these both play a massive role. You probably want to be calling on both intrinsic and extrinsic goals. Intrinsic goals will probably carry further than extrinsic goals. But again, I know a lot of people who do really well from extrinsic goals. Do you know what I mean? And that's absolutely fine. You just need to lean onto whichever one suits your lifestyle and your kind of psychological standpoint. The next one with goal setting is like, just choose SMART goals, specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, time-bound, for your fat loss success. I think the biggest one is like, have a deadline. Do you know what I mean? Like, have a deadline that you're working towards. Have milestones that you can tick off along the way. Otherwise, you just end in this endless cycle of lower calories. And again, unless you're a robot, you're really going to struggle to kind of just consistently do it if you don't tick off these milestones. The next one is you need to think about how like you can maintain motivation and momentum, okay? And I think like the easiest way to do this is through building discipline around the habits that you need to. You could look at kind of visualization, and of course you want to be thinking about like celebrating your wins and your progress, because again, we all very often just kind of go towards the failures, the negatives, and massively downplay the things that kind of went well. We're all very critical of ourselves, of each other. We very rarely kind of focus on the things that actually went well. Next point is that you need to kind of overcome like self-sabotage, okay? And this is something that I spoke about in kind of my community group the other day, is that most people within the context of fat loss are the issue in their failure of fat loss. And this could be through like procrastination, perfectionism, could be emotional eating, but all of us will have like our own self-sabotaging behaviors, and we need to have a contingency plan to kind of overcome them, because 9 times out of 10 they'll get worse during a dieting phase, because again, that bandwidth for your kind of tolerance goes down, and you might find yourself just really struggling to kind of keep them at bay. So for example, mine was like keeping all of my food to the end of the day. Like, I would sacrifice everything in the day to be able to eat loads in the evening. And what that meant is throughout the day, I was absolutely knackered. I had no energy. I was horrible to be around. And it was just a general struggle for all those involved with me. If I knew that now, I would have definitely kind of thought, right, what can I do to make it easier for myself? Yes, it's nice to be able to have all those calories at the end of the day, but again, is it the best thing for my overall being? Think like the easiest way to kind of identify your own triggers and break self-sabotaging cycles is just realize like, what do you do on a daily that makes your life harder in respect to fat loss, and what makes your life easier in terms of fat loss? Like, you might be very good at doing steps, but you're very poor at doing cardio. So reverse engineer that and think, how can I make the habits or the behaviors that I know I'm good at within my steps cross over into my cardio, okay? So for example, when I did prep, it was a case of I had to do my cardio in the morning. Well, I actually split it into two because I had to do so much, but I was doing an hour in the morning, half an hour in the evening. That meant that the majority of it was done, because at the start I was leaving a lot of it to the end of the day, and again, that is self-sabotaging behavior. You don't want to be asking too much of yourself in a dieting phase when you're already struggling. And this is where you need to like practice resilience, okay? Like, resilience is huge. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's nothing's going to happen without resilience. And resilience basically relates to kind of navigating the challenges that you face and the setbacks that you will find during a fat loss phase. Like, there's not going to be a fat loss phase that's completely kind of struggle-free or annoyance-free. And you're going to kind of build resilience through obviously kind of creating proof in yourself that you can overcome obstacles, building a support network around you, practicing self-care, and kind of some kind of reflection and mindfulness practices are always going to support you with that. And developing a sense of self-awareness is massive, so that you can create a sustainable lifestyle long-term, and a lifestyle that doesn't evolve around dieting. Because again, as I say to all my clients, like, you don't want to be dieting all of the time. So thank you for tuning in. I hope these psychological factors will help you kind of as you move into your dieting phase. If you have any questions that you ever want me to cover, just message me on Instagram or at projectsparks@gmail.com. We currently do not have online coaching spaces, but in March I will be taking on a new roster of clients. I think I'll be opening up around 6 spaces. So if you've got this far in the podcast, you've already shown that you're willing and you're wanting. So always send me a message if you want to, or you can find my application link in my Instagram bio or on my website. So other than that, have a great day, a great life, wherever you are in this world, and I'll speak to you soon.